Now we're dealing with how do you use that information to make your decisions. Okay? So you've gathered your information. Now I've got my information. How do I prefer to make my decisions? And our two hands are what they call a thinking and a feeling preference. If you are a right-handed thinker, now you've got your information, what you're looking for is, how do I use this information to gain logical clarity of what's going on? And my great desire is, I want to make a logical, rational, analytical, objective, truth-based decision. And you know when a thinker is really happy, because what they say is, this is my decision, and this is why I'm making it. And they go, bang, 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 bang. They have a list of bullet points that are clear, logical, rational, and have been thought through. It can be a tough decision. People may not like that decision. They may not be popular for making that decision. But as long as the thinker knows that they've been through that careful process of analysis, logical clarity, objective in the decision, I'll show you more on that in a minute, then they can live with it. Feelers, on the other hand, very different. The information's there. The first thing they ask is, how is this decision going to affect the relational harmony of the people into which this decision is going to be implemented? And how does it sit with my own core personal values of what is important to me? So if the thinker is looking always for logical clarity, the feeler, first and foremost, is looking for emotional clarity. How is this going to affect that person? How is it going to affect this person? What are the consequences for that family of this decision being made? So whereas thinkers, seek to remain distant and objective, the feeler always wants it to remain personal. So here we are, you know, excuse my little diagrams. But basically, there's the team in the box. A decision has to be made that's going to affect the team. The thinker will often physically withdraw away, certainly emotionally withdraw away, so they can look back into that situation and evaluate it without having to take into account who's their best friend, who's their mother, and who's other members of the team. Because for them, justice and fairness is such a strong driver, they don't ever want to be accused of showing favoritism based on the relationship that they have with that individual. It usually is based around the task and a competency matrix. If someone's, you know, that's what's there. Feelers, on the other hand, complete. There I am, leader of the team. I've got to make a decision that's going to affect that team. I want to step into every pair of shoes that that decision is going to affect and say, what's it going to be like for them to be there? You know, the husband's just been made redundant. If I make them redundant as well, that's really tough on the family. You know, so-and-so's really struggling with sickness, she's struggling with her self-identity at the moment. The last thing I need to do is kick her in the teeth while she's down. She may be absolutely awful at what she does, but gosh, this would just push her over the edge. Do you see the kind of the difference in the process, that the objectivity versus the desire for it to remain personal? Feelers will tend to accept first and critique second. So if you say to a feeler, what do you think about this as an idea? What you'll usually get is an affirmation of you as an individual for even being prepared to offer a suggestion before you get the kind of the critique which is, do you know, I'm really grateful that you felt able to share that, but I'm, you know, it's really interesting. I may have to go and think about that one because it doesn't connect with me immediately, which usually means it's utter drivel. But I want to affirm you as a person, and I'm grateful that you contributed it. Thinker, on the other hand, slightly different approach. When they say, what do you think of my idea? All the thinker hears is, right, this is what I love doing. This is what I was built for. Critical analysis of people's concepts and plans. Right, hold it there. I'm going to get my big, dirty, great machine gun out of logical clarity and reasoning. So fires away at this idea with everything they've got. And if after 5 minutes of shooting, the idea is still there, they go, do you know, that's really good. It's a great idea, that is. None of my logical critique has been able to tear that down. I like that. And then they look over and they say, are you all right? Is that blood? Are you breathing? Because the feeler, you see, often will volunteer their idea. But when they volunteer their idea, they basically volunteer themselves. And they put their idea right on top of their heart. And the thinker, you see, never really realizes this until usually it's too late. And they've gone and riddled that body with logical, rational, analytical bullets. And they go, well, I'm sorry, you asked me to critique your idea. I just have. Why are you crying and dying? You should have asked. Yeah, absolutely. If you wanted me to just be nice to you, you shouldn't have given me your idea, should you? And then they turn around and go with their other hand and go, do you know, I'm really sorry. I feel really bad about that now. But it's slightly hard to bring them back from the dead if you've really shot them by that stage. But most thinkers, particularly some of those extrovert thinkers, know moments in life where they've just simply done what they were asked to do and then have been, you know, told off for doing it afterwards or been commented on that maybe they weren't quite as pastorally sensitive as they could have been in a particular situation. So feelers, they love, it remains personal. They remain involved in the decision-making personally. They're always usually looking for points of agreement. They're always looking for compromise. They're always looking, if there's a way that everyone can feel their views have been valued, then they're always searching, as it were, for that compromise position. And their great desire in the decision-making is, if I've got to make this decision, how do I make it in the most compassionate way? How do I really demonstrate compassionate thinkers? Slightly different. Are always looking for what are the pros and cons. They're always looking for the flaws in arguments and critiquing them, because they like doing that. And their great driver is this: I want to make a just and fair decision. That's the key criteria for me. If I can do that, I can live with myself. Very, very different kind of... give you a couple more. If you think of constructive criticism, how do you like to receive feedback in your job? Okay? Because that usually gives you a clue as to which is your preferred hand. Now, if the moment I mention constructive criticism, you kind of take a sharp, deep breath and kind of sit back in your seat slightly, it usually means that actually there's a feeling right hand. Because feelers, as we'll do in a minute, is a bit of fun and activity just so you can get up and not listen to me, often want to be valued for who they are, not what they do. Thinkers, on the other hand, always want to be better at the task. And what they want is someone who's going to help them be better at what they do. Because the task is the most important thing to them. They want to be really good at what they do. And so therefore, somebody telling me I'm just a really nice person and what a great contribution I make to the team and, you know, maybe I could do better next time, isn't likely to bring huge life to the thinker who goes, give it to me straight. I want it real, proper feedback. If I've done a good job, tell me. If I haven't, I want to get... not only told I haven't, but I want to be shown how I can do it better next time. Ideally, I'd like to be perfect, but I know the only way I can get better is if people show me tough love. Feelers, on the other hand, often are kind of like, you can critique their work in a very, very direct way and kind of, and sometimes give it a very hard time and look up and someone's crying. And you go, you're right? What's the matter? No. I mean, the thinkers are the more analytical ones. What happens, you see, is if you remember the objectivity, thinkers can separate themselves from the situation and look back in more objectively. Yeah.
They're more analytical.
That's right. Whereas, actually, the feeler doesn't separate. They actually become one and the same. So, if it comes to separating themselves from work... thinkers are much better at doing that and looking back in objectively. For a feeler, you see, if my relationships are going well, if my faith's going well, if my job's going well, I'm going well. Relationships going badly, faith's going badly, work's going badly, I'm a failure. They and what they do become one and the same thing. Children having a disastrous time at school. Thinkers analyze and go, well, there may be any number of reasons why that's happening. It may be the school, it may be external pressures, it may be anything. Let's analyse it and find what's true. Feelers, my children are not doing well it must be about me. I've been a bad mother, I've been a bad father. Because they default to assume it's about them, whether it's good news or bad news. Any of that ring any bells for people?
They're more apt to take blame.
Yeah, they are. Thinkers will take the blame, but usually there's a process whereby there's a gunfight before they finally own it. So, you critique me and what I've done. I don't mind that, but I'm going to join in. Because I want to make sure that your critique is as fair and just as I can make it be. So when you say, I think you could do this better by doing this, that and the other, I go, agree with that, disagree with that, because of bang, bang, bang. And I'm really grateful for that insight. How does that sound? Do you see, it's kind of... So once we've had our gunfight, I know what I'm moving on to do. But anything that involves guns and fighting usually leaves blood on the carpet, because the feelers will always interpret it criticism personally. At least that's what they do. But a lot of you, see, you learn to use your other hand, and if you spend a long time in the world of work, you learn to, as a T, you learn to become slightly more compassionate, hopefully, particularly if you stay in the church for any period of time. Well, the other way around happens in work. Feelers learn to become just a bit more tough, because they have to be, and they learn how to use their other hand. So it's not which one are you, which one are you not. We're all a combination of left and right handedness. It's which one do we go to first. And again, you know, first impressions. How many people think they're a right-handed T?
Right-handed thinking.
Yeah. How many people think that they're a right-handed feeler? And how many people are not sure? See, I told you this one's slightly easier, didn't I? So what we're going to do now, okay, we've got about 10 minutes before we're... Is that right? No, we've got plenty more time, actually. If the thinkers go over there, when I tell them, and the feelers go over there, but somebody needs to write down these three questions in each group, okay? What are you doing? And you need to be honest, by the way. There's no right or wrong answers, it just helps. First one is, what do you like to be valued and recognised for? Okay. What do you like to be valued and recognized for? The second question is, how do you like to be valued and recognized? So what do I have to do? And the third question, for those of you who can't take shorthand, is, how does it feel when I'm not valued and recognized in that way? Okay, so I'll give you a recap again. What do you like to be valued and recognized for? How do you like to be valued and recognized? And how does it feel when you're not valued or recognized in the ways that you highlighted in number two? Any questions? Okay, so thinkers, you're going over to that. It's great having these chairs. I love this. Never usually get this. Feelers, you're going over there. Okay. So, what do you like to be valued and recognized for? Okay, let's start with the thinkers, okay? Thinkers, what do you like to be valued and recognized for?
Accomplishments, reaching goals.
Accomplishments, reaching goals. Yeah, that's it. Anything else?
We just like to be recognized.
Okay. Accomplishments and goals. Great. If I put competence up there, would that be part of it as well? Yeah. Anyone would think I'd done this before? There you go. So accomplishments, goals, and being competent at what you do. Often things that are in there as well are things like being reliable. If I say I'll deliver it, it will be done. Yeah, is that kind of... So I put reliability in there as well. So I can trust your word. If you say you'll get it done, you will. That's kind of quite important. What about feelers then? What do you like to be valued and recognized for?
For
Andrea, what do you say? Being?
Special.
Being special. That's great, because that's a really honest answer. Any others? Okay, diplomacy. Character.
Heart.
Effort.
Effort,
okay, yeah. No, nothing to do with actually the outcome of that effort.
We just tried.
Exactly. hang on. So the thinkers are looking at it going, no, I don't believe this. Okay, so I think it'd be fair to say that there's a fair difference then between the kind of the things which come out. I mean, the thinkers, it's all about task, isn't it? It's all about what they do. So if you think to being and doing, who are likely to be the people who are drawn to the kingdom work as opposed to the covenant side of it? Interesting this, isn't it? That's, I want to be accomplished, I want to achieve my goals, I want to be competent in what I do, I want to be reliable in my task. I get the job done. That could be their mantra. Feeling, on the other hand, not a huge amount of task-related words there, are there any? Being special, a diplomatic, which is usually to do with being able to deal with people, character, you know, that people value the character of the person I am, that my heart is a good heart, you know, that I, and that I put effort in. Yeah, you know, it's great, but I mean, they are different, aren't they? So if you think what the, remember right back to the beginning when I talked about the high support, high challenge environment, okay? So how do you create a high support, high challenge environment? Even just on this one letter alone, there's a slightly different way of doing it, isn't it really? Because any high challenge environment for a thinker which doesn't involve them achieving task and being competent in what they do isn't really that challenging. For a feeler, you see, huge support is affirming who they are, because actually if you ever want them to do anything well, they've really got to believe in themselves and the fact that you really value them for who they are. The task is not the, it's not what drives them. It really isn't. Now, you could argue which you think is the most Christ-like, and the good answer is both of them are, because actually they are classic being and doing, aren't they? I want to be valued for who I am. I want to be valued for what I do. I have two hands. If I become truly mature in Christ, then I'm happy to be valued for who I am and what I do. But most of us have a right hand where we start from. Okay, then, there you are. That's what you like to be valued and recognized for, thinkers. How would you like me to demonstrate that I really do value you? How do I do it? Sorry? Okay. Okay. But basically, specific praise related to the task. So it doesn't need to be flowery and waffly about, I just think you're lovely. It needs to be related so the person has actually considered the task you've done in order to praise you for it. Yeah? What else? How else do I do it? I think you're doing a great job, Nate. Fantastic work you're doing with the school. No money this year again, sorry. What can I say?
So you're saying tangible.
Well, I'm asking you whether that can...
Yeah.
If you really...
Show me.
Yeah, show me the money. Yeah. I want some tangible reward. You know, it's one thing... If I turn around and say, you know, all these thinkers out there that have been neutered in the church and go, I'm not going to pay anything else. Just tough. In the end, that's hard work for a thinker, because they're actually, the only way they know that you've really valued what they've done is if you reward them appropriately. The other one which kicks in there, have you got any more? What else do thinkers usually want related to competence? You've done a job really well, what else do you want?
Responsibility.
Absolutely. If you think I've done that job well, give me something else that'll stretch me even further. Because the only way I grow in my skills and competency is for you to give me more opportunity to lead and be stretched. I want to grow. So give me more complex responsibility. More leadership opportunities. Because don't forget, if you're defined primarily by what you do, you want to be able to do more and do it better. Now, I'm not expecting the same list for the feeders, by the way, so don't get upset about this. The reason why I've got two different pens is so you know. So that's what the feelers like to be valued and recognised for. How do I do it? How do you know that I've really valued and recognised you?
Give me a hug.
Give you a hug, okay. You laugh, but this is actually... Oh, look at that, you see. It's gorgeous,
don't
beautiful.
Expect any more of those.
Any others?
Passionate praise.
Passionate praise. Wow. Okay. Passionate praise about what, Johnny?
What? I don't know anything. If it's passionate, then I know you mean it.
Okay. So. So if it's is it better to be about these things? I suppose it is, isn't it? Really, that if I was to turn around to you and say, Janae, I notice what the Lord's doing at the moment in terms of growing the fruits of the Spirit in your life, and just seeing the way you are around people and the way you give, it's just such a privilege to be able to watch the way the Lord's growing you at the moment. Is that good?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? It's easy to manipulate that lot. You see, and if I'm sincere, the one thing feelers can spot is insincerity a mile off, you know. So don't just think it's the words, thinkers, that deliver the outcome. Sincere, that's the other word for passionate. Passionate, because what you're saying is it's got to come out of who you are, and it's got to be core, and it's got to be full of integrity. Because if it's not, that's even worse than giving me nothing. Any others?
Well, we said it couldn't be a group praise thing. It had to be specific, personal.
Oh, okay.
Personal.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a blanket, y'all are doing a great job.
Okay.
That wasn't good.
Personal, passionate praise. Yeah, okay. Anything else?
We don't just want the praise too. We also have to spend time with us discussing.
Oh, some of you will. Okay.
Absorbing the praise.
Oh, absorbing the praise. What a gorgeous phrase. The extroverts probably would like. Extrovert feelers, the introvert feelers are like, do you know, some of them will say is, the introvert feelers will, among you will probably be going, I'd really love you to put it in a letter or put it in something concrete so then I can take it away and I can read it again and again and again. So if you really want to value and recognize me, then basically take the time to articulate that in a way that I'm able to keep connecting with. So basically, the letter or often the personal present, which shows you've thought about the individual. Okay, so the CEO who sends the PA out at Christmas going, oh, just get me 20 boxes of large chocolates or whatever it is, really doesn't connect with this. If actually what I do is, even if it's naff, even if I've gone out and spent the time thinking about you as an individual and have put some of that appreciation of who you are in some form of written form to you in a card or whatever it is, and tried to get you a present that shows I've actually tried to think about who you are and what brings you joy. That's often a way that people like to be valued and recognized. Yeah? So, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, feelers. You know, would that be good if somebody actually thought of you in that way? That would work. Okay, that's good. But again, interesting how different those are, isn't it? There's no huge sign of dollars and promotion and your job opportunities on the right-hand side, is there? So if you think high support, high challenge environment, what does it mean to create that environment for people? Now, if you happen to be led by a feeler, and you are a feeler, the chances are it's relatively straightforward. But if, as it often happens, a lot of thinkers tend to end up being the bosses because they want to run the organizations. They're the ones that are motivated by task and the desire for more responsibility. When thinkers try and connect with feelers with no concept of how this works, it usually ends up with a disconnect. Because the thinker's going, I want to reward you tangibly for what you've done. I'm going to give you praise. Well, that works. I'd like to give you more reward. Well, it would work. And I want to give you more responsibility. So what they're doing is they're giving out of their own what they would like to be recognized and how that would happen, as opposed to saying, what would it mean to create an environment to cause my individual in my team to grow and feel valued? So it gets complex, but the advantage of this stuff is, and I mean, don't forget, we're a long way beyond Myers-Briggs as just an entity at this stage. What we're really saying is, there are ways and means that we can get access to the way God wired us and the way God wired other people. But like all disciplines, it takes time and investment. One of the things I often do with teams, if I'm leading them, is to sit down at the beginning and say, okay, how do you like to be what do you want to be valued and recognized for? How would you like me to do it? You know, you need to give me some clues because it's not something I find easy to do. Help me understand how you'd like me to give you feedback. How can I do it in a way which recognizes the person that God's made you to be. And you'd be amazed sometimes how just simply some of those clues prevent some of that jarring that often happens when thinkers and feelers rub up against each other. And in the decision-making process, well, who's likely to be able to make tough decisions more easily? Thinkers. Because the task is more important than relationships. You know, they'd rather like to have both, but honestly, if it push comes to shove, it's productivity and performance and task outcome versus a little bit of relational harmony, everyone loving me, well, I'm going to sacrifice that for that every time. Feelers, if they're honest, will usually sacrifice a little bit about task, performance and productivity in order to enhance the relational harmony in that sense of togetherness as team. It's not a bad thing. It's just the way we're wired. So actually, if all voices are able to be part of the process, it's a real help. But that's why a lot of thinkers find it easier sometimes to kind of make those decisions. If Fs can discipline their lives and learn to use their other hand, they make some of the most accomplished leaders of all. Because people trust them. Thinkers will sacrifice people for the greater vision. Particularly NTs. For those of you who can combine the second letter. However, everyone knows with the feelers, sacrificing people would be the end of the vision. Because the vision is usually the development, enrichment and potential fulfillment of people. Yeah? People follow NTs because of their competence. Knowing that in the end they may be superfluous to requirements. But for NFs, the vision is always about people. It's always about the development, enrichment, nurture of people. And to sacrifice them would just be like, well, I might as well die. Yeah, okay. Last one. How does it feel when you're not recognized and rewarded in that way? Okay, thinkers, how does it feel?
Not appreciated.
Not appreciated. Yeah, great. Thanks, Gene. Anything else? Yeah, okay. What do you tend to do? What's your reaction to it? Okay. You're all being very kind. What usually happens is this. Because the thinker separates themselves, because they know they're doing a good job, and they're not being rewarded and recognized appropriately, they will know what the commercial value of the skills they bring is, or are. So what they'll say is, if you are not prepared to recognize and value me for the gifts that I bring, well, I'll go and find somewhere that will. Dust off my feet. I'm off. Your mistake. Huge. Do you see? Because it's, I know what I'm worth, and I know the task skills that I bring, and therefore you need to value and recognize me properly. What about feelers? How does it feel when I don't do this stuff with you? When I don't recognize you and value you for who you are? And treat you as a task-focused monster the whole time. That all I want is more productivity out of you.
Deflating.
Deflating. There's usually a flood of adjectives at this stage. Come on. Oh, I bet it was. Where's your list? Who wrote it?
I wrote it down.
Come on then. Read them out.
Condemnation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rejected.
Yeah. Yeah.
Disappointed.
Gutted, distraught, betrayed,
confused.
Bitter. Yes, come on, let it out. You see, if you keep pushing this one, and they feel guilty for even sharing it now, because it's like, oh my word, I hope they don't think I'm, you know. But deep down, I mean, I've done this with people where it comes out at the end, if you keep pushing this, if you're not recognised and valued over a repeated period of time for who you are, you begin to feel like you're basically just being abused almost. You know, broken, bruised, rejected, betrayed. I mean, it's very, very strong words come out there. Not this side. You see, the difference in the task focus and the relationship focus means that the motivational strategy has to be different. And the reward strategy has to be different. And the support and challenge culture has to be unique almost to the individuals. And as you'll see, the problem is, whereas at the moment I'm teaching you the foundational layers so you can at least understand the difference between the hands, the real fun starts when you start to combine those all the letters we've got so far. So for example, for feelers here, an ISF will answer this differently to an ENF. And they'll need a different strategy for how you motivate them. But all the answers are in there somewhere. It's great fun, isn't it? You know, you think, God, you're amazing. How did you come up with such diversity and difference? How did you keep limitless possibilities? Because even if you've got the same letters as someone, life, experience, character, all of us are unique. And all we're doing really is pulling back a corner, a little flap, as it were, of the intricacies of the unique way that human beings were created in the image of God. And by looking at each other at our best, we get glimpses, as it were, of the full humanity which is actually our inheritance. I mean, I long for the day when I'm naturally this stuff. You know, I mean, I try hard to be more and learn how to use my left hand, but it doesn't come that naturally to me. Do you see? It's kind of, and somehow, as you begin to get a glimpse, as it were, of what your future is, what it means to become truly mature in Christ without abdicating what it means to actually be the person God made me to be. Because if I'm a T and all I try and do is function as an F because I think that's what Jesus did, in the end I don't bring what I should be bringing to the team. And interestingly, in church and what I call more socially pastoral environments, allowing the T's and encouraging the T's to actually play the role God gave them is, I think, one of the most important tasks within the church at the moment. I mean, Europe is completely neutered. I mean, I'll do this with groups of men, and they all come out as F's in the report if they take the test. They then do this, and it's obvious that they're T's, but they've spent so long trying to be pastors and teachers that they've forgotten what it was like to be a pioneer apostle or pioneer evangelist. They feel somehow they lose that connection with the gift they were given. You know, and it's also why it's hard sometimes, you know, for feelers who lead organizations, even churches and schools and people like that, where actually everything of the ought and should is, we want you to be tough. We want you to be able to take that T-type role. But actually, that's not usually how they function most effectively. Any type can lead. Okay? Any type can do anything. I have a store in my brain of all the people I've met over the last 4 years, and there's thousands of them now, who are all types, all 16 types, all doing incredible things and incredible people. This is not to limit you in any way. It just shows them why certain parts of that role was really difficult. You know, one of the top doctors, consultants in England was an INFP. And then he suddenly realized why learning all the detail of passing all the exams was such death, and why even writing all the detailed reports was really hard work. But when he got to a point where he could basically treat patients as the individual, be the absolute, you know, top of his profession, mentor people, which is what he loved doing anyway, and people would come in the room and he'd almost intuitively know what was wrong with them. So the gift had finally gone through the phase of being hard work to the point where he'd come out the other side and was then able to use his right hand. And that's what I observe in a lot of careers, whether you're detail or whether you're big picture, whether you're thinking, feeling. What tends to happen is, as we progress in the skills and the experience, there's usually different seasons when we are caused to grow more than not. So for example, for NTs, to have to start at the bottom is really hard work, because they naturally want to get to the top and strategically vision everything. For sensor feelers, for example, to be in a place where they've really got to take tough decisions and discipline people and situations, that's a real growing thing for them. Yeah? It's 3 o'clock. So we'll have... Do you want to have a... I'd love to do J&P with you, but we're going to have a break now for... Have half an hour. Yeah, is that okay? And we'll be finished by 4:30. So we've got 1 hour to do... J&P will take us about 25 minutes, and then what I've got is 35 minutes to do some bigger picture stuff that combine the four letters with you. The reason I do it this way is because once you've got four letters, any other investment and time you spend with me, I'm not having to build from a foundation. So every 5 minutes for coffee can be a kairos. But unless I give you the foundational level knowledge and understanding, actually, it's really hard because I've almost got to begin again. So if you've heard this all before, forgive me, but I hope there's enough in this that you are already got lots of things going on in here of how both in relationships, in yourself, often making sense sometimes of the experiences of life and why things have been sometimes a challenge and why some things have been a joy, and seeing the different reactions that we have in this wonderful variety of human beings that we were made. So that's 3 o'clock. We'll start back. Can you say 3:25? Which then allows time for those of you who are late Good.